In the morning, his father had not yet risen. Lucas went to his parents' bedroom and cautiously opened the door. They were quieter than usual. He left his father and mother in their bedroom together. He hoped that when he returned from work, they might be restored to themselves. Here it was, then, his own machine. He stood before it in the enormous room. Lucas whispered, "You are unworthy. You must admit it. You were untrue. I'm sorry you're dead, but you can't have Catherine with you." The machine sang on. Its song didn't vary. Lucas still couldn't decipher the words, but he knew they were all about love and longing. Simon wanted more than he should rightfully have. Lucas loaded a plate and fed it in. The machine took the plate as it always did. It made the impressions, 4 across, 6 down. As Lucas carried the first of the day's plates to Dan, he wondered if his machine spoke to the others at night, when the men were gone and the machines lived here alone. Dan was bent over his machine. He said, "Good morning, Lucas," without looking up.
"Good morning, sir."
Lucas lingered after he had dropped his plate in Dan's bin. Dan turned from his machine. He said, "Something wrong?"
"No, sir."
Dan took a kerchief from his pocket, wiped the sweat from the gleaming red dome of his brow. He was missing the first and second fingers of his right hand. Lucas hadn't noticed it before.
Lucas said, "Please, sir, what happened to your fingers?"
"Lost them," he said.
"How did you lose them?"
"Accident." Dan wiped his brow again and returned to his work. Idling so, talking wasn't permitted. Lucas returned to his own machine and loaded another plate. The whistle blew. Lucas waited for Jack Walsh to pass and say,
"All right, then."
He shut down his machine. He hurried away. He ran up Rivington. A river of girls and women was already streaming out of the Manhattan Company when he got there. He searched for Catherine among the crowd, and then he saw her. She was near the end, with an older woman who had drawn her thin gray hair severely back and walked with her neck craned forward. Lucas approached them.
"Catherine!"
he cried.
"Hello, Lucas," she said. "Are you well?"
"Quite well. And you?"
How could he say what he was?
He said, "Shall I pray? Shall I venerate and be ceremonious?"
"Lucas, this is my friend Kate."
The older woman dipped her head.
"Kate, this is Lucas. He is Simon's brother."
Kate said, "I am sorry for your loss."
"Thank you, ma'am."
"Have you come to see me home?" Catherine asked.
"Yes, please."
"Kate, it seems I'm escorted. I'll see you tomorrow, then." The older woman dipped her head again. "Goodbye," she said. Catherine placed her hands upon her hips.
"Lucas, my dear," she said.
"You are well,
as you can see.
Will you let me walk with you?"
"I have to sell the bowl."
"Where is it?"
"In my reticule.
Don't sell the bowl. Keep it, please."
"Come with me, if you like."
She walked on. He went beside her. He said, "Catherine, the machines are dangerous."
"They can be. That's why you must be careful."
"Even if you are careful."
"Well, being careful is the best we can do, isn't it?"
"You mustn't go to work anymore."
"Where should I go, then, my darling?"
"You could sew at home, couldn't you? You could take in piecework."
"Do you know what that pays?"
He didn't know what anything paid except his own work, and he had learned that only by being paid. He walked on beside her. They passed together through Washington Square. He asked Catherine, "Where are we going?"
"To someone I know of."
He went with her through the square to a shop on 8th Street. It was a modest place, half below the street, called Gaia's Emporium. Its windows showed 2 hats floating on poles. Under the hats were bracelets and earrings, arranged on a swatch of faded blue velvet. Catherine said,
"Wait here. Can't I come in with you?"
"No, it's best if I go in alone." She went inside. Lucas waited.